council meeting. John, you're very welcome on board. I did say welcome to the House of Fun, and then somebody said that was madness, and maybe it is. And also farewell to Paul O'Gribben. I also would like to say again, although I have mentioned it earlier in the last month, about passing our condolences on to the family of the late Pat McElroy. Have we any apologies? We have Willie Clark, I know, has sent an apology, and obviously Naomi. Councillor Loughran. Sorry, Councillor Traynor. And that's it. Okay, councillors. Have we any declarations of interest? No declarations of interest? Okay. We move on then to the action sheet. And Liam is going to talk us through that.
Chairman, just in most of the items have been dealt with. In terms of, I don't have any issues. There is correspondence included on regard to the meeting with Peter May, and I think we've got dates for that now, Eileen, haven't we? We have three potential dates. That's the issue regarding the Southern, the Dunpatrick Southern Relief Road, and the state of roads in the district. So, could I maybe suggest just taking sort of representations? He's suggesting mid-afternoon, 3 p.m. on Wednesday the 28th, Tuesday the 6th, and Friday the 9th of March. So again, just in terms of members.
It's item 12 anyway.
Yeah, it's item 12 on the agenda, yeah. It could be held in Uri or it could be held in Downpatrick. He's happy to go to either.
Sorry, Councillor. Well.
So could I maybe suggest then we do the normal normal arrangement, sort of I think it's two Sinn Féin, two SDLP, one DUP, one UUP, and one of the independents. And Henry? Okay. Actually, I'm going back to the parties. Members happy enough with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And again, probably get just maybe to get representation from the Downpatrick area to just conscious that the Eastern Distributor Road is also used for the summary from Downpatrick.
Okay. Councillor Byrne.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'd just like to get an update from the Chief Executive about the Rainbow community issue, about the Rainbow House that's on the action sheet here.
Chairman, I know that Michael Lipset is Michael here.
Yeah, I can go later.
Maybe the chairman was that? Maybe.
Yes, we had a meeting with the Rainbow community, and there were a number of ways that we were moving forward. They, in terms of speaking to their landlord and the council, in terms of looking at the assets which they have. The properties which they were actually looking for are not currently in the ownership of the council, but as that moves forward, we will be having further meetings with them. And it was also suggested that the next meeting would take place in their premises on Monaghan Street. So that's where that is at the minute. But they seemed content with the meeting and that they had been heard and that they were happy enough.
And just on that, Chair, the next meeting that's taking place in their premises on Monaghan Street, is that open to other councillors like myself to attend?
I don't think there anybody has any issues with
maybe Chairman, I get Michael when he's organising the meeting to send out a note to all councillors anyone that wants to attend.
That's great, thanks.
Okay. You happy enough then, Liam, with that? Okay, we are now at item 4, which is to set the district rate for the financial year 2018-2019 as required under Section 3 of the Local Government Act. And we are going to take 4 and just run seamlessly, hopefully, into 4.1, and that will be under the guidance of Doreena.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Councillors, you'll be aware that we are required, the Local Government Finance Act requires us to strike a rate for the next financial year of council. In doing so, we have a number of other requirements as specified in the Local Government Finance Act and the Prudential Code. So you have quite a detailed paper in front of you, and I am going to be asking members to approve 7 specific items which are detailed on that paper, and I'll talk you through each of them as briefly as I can. consideration of Council's estimated budget for next year and subsequent years has received detailed consideration already by the Efficiencies Working Group, and Appendix 1 to this report, which is contained at Section 4.1, contains the action sheets arising from the last six meetings, which really the main focus of each of those meetings has been on the rate setting process. These are included on your agenda for noting. And what I would say to you is that all of the actions pertinent to the rate setting process have been completed. Any actions that remain outstanding will be taken forward via the Efficiency Working Group in due course. So in terms of the paper in front of you tonight, the first item that we are seeking approval for is to approve the four-year capital programme, which is currently sitting at £103,590,322, and that's contained at Appendix 2. It represents a significant investment in our district over the next 4 years. We're also asking members to approve the prudential indicators and the minimum revenue provision statement for 2018-19. This is something required by their SIPFA prudential code, and that's contained in your packs at Appendix 3. And this is a key determinant in financing that capital programme. Thirdly, we're asking you to approve financing of severance costs of £932,888 from the reserves of Council during the 2018-19 year, as you have done in previous years. We're also asking that you approve the Treasury Management Strategy Statement for 2018-19 contained at Appendix 4. Again, this is required by the SIPFA code, and it details how we intend to manage Council's finances over the course of the next year. We also ask you to have regard to the Chief Executive's statement as required by the Local Governance Finance Act, and you'll see, members, that this is contained in 2.1 of your report. The Chief Executive has given you a submission at this point as to the adequacy of Council's reserves and the robustness of the revenue estimates. And I would just draw to your attention that the Chief Executive has pointed out to you that there are a number of significant uncertainties within the current estimates that have arisen due to the current political instability. One of those is about the rate supports grant. During 17-18, this Council were advised of a 4% cut to the rate support grant, and we have been further advised by the Department for Communities that to anticipate further reductions, and that is something that we have taken into account in anticipation of the 18-19 year. Furthermore, you'll be aware that the current political instability has prevented the determination of a regional rate at this point for 2018-19, and I can confirm that we still have not been advised of what this will be. Included within our 18-19 estimates are various areas of funding received from central government, and it is important to note that until such times as a budget is agreed by the Northern Ireland Executive, these funding streams remain uncertain. However, what you will see at 2.1 is that in respect of the robustness of the estimates, the Chief Executive has advised that he is satisfied that the estimates as presented to you, subject to significant uncertainties noted, should provide adequate financial resources to support the running costs of this Council for 2018-19, and that reasonable consideration of the financial risks have been made in preparation of the estimates. And in respect of the level of reserves for this Council, the Council is anticipating a general fund balance to be in the region of £10 million at the 1st of April 2018, which represents some 17% of our gross expenditure. And again, the Chief Executive has advised that he is content that the current level of reserves held by this Council are adequate. This brings us on to point 6 of your report, then, that we're asking members to approve an increase in the district rate for 2018-19 of 3.38%, based on an estimated penny product of £2,305,909, meaning a non-domestic rate of 23.7668 pence and a domestic rate of 0.3817 pence, and more detail on that is contained within Appendix 5. And lastly, we're asking that members approve the 2018-19 estimates included in your medium-term financial plan at Appendix 5 and authorise the expenditure included in the estimates. So, Chair, I'm seeking a proposer and seconder for each of those seven recommendations.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to make a brief comment on the papers. I suppose moving through the efficiencies working group and trying to get through line by line to find some savings across to give value for money for the ratepayer in the district, especially when you come to striking the rate, it is extremely frustrating when we don't have all the information in front of us. Now, we're more looking at a capital programme or an increase in payroll in the council for factors that are outside our control. We can only have influence and effect on factors that are within our control. And when you then put on top of that that you have no idea, we have no idea what the reduction is in the rate support grant, and we don't know the regional rate, it's nearly next to impossible for us to, you know, try and get through each line in detail. It's extremely frustrating. And I know we've done a lot of work through all the efficiencies working group workshops, but to sit here, you know, and we're getting the strike rate without that information is totally unacceptable. And that's, I suppose, what we get in the climate where we don't have an executive and we don't have an agreed budget. But I'm aware of the work that we had done over the last couple of months from December, and the estimating or guesstimating where we will be is the best we can do, and we have an obligation to the people of the district as well. We do have an ambitious capital programme. We do have factors outside of our control that we have factored into this, but I just wanted to put on record my disappointment that we do not know what the rate support grant cut is between 4 and 7%. It has an effect on the rise of it, and it's the level of effect that we don't know. And also, I'm disappointing that we don't know what the regional rate is. But again, that's factors outside of our control.
Some of our microphones, again, are not working. Councillor Rouen, did you want to come in? Okay, thank you, Councillor Rouen. We have a proposed. Have we got a seconder? Oh, we're not going to have a seconder. Councillor Brown has seconded. Okay, and everybody in agreement? With all of the records? Sorry, Councillor Riley.
Madam Chair, firstly, can I thank Dorina Carville? And all my years in public service, I haven't come across a more efficient officer who really does.
Okay, Councillor. Okay. Councillor Riley, would you like to expand on that?
No. No, I'm just pointing out that, you know, she has brought forward all these documents and she's kept it that even a councillor can understand it, which is very significant. And I've been very, very impressed now with the way that this was done this year. On the capital spend, $105 million, I would ask the council to keep in mind that there is a council area outside Newry. I think we're becoming very, very Newry-centric and even Downpatrick-centric. Now, I'm not complaining because the likes of the sports centre and all these things, those are fantastic achievements by this council. But I would just like to see a wee bit of money spent in the Mourns DEA over the next number of years. And there are really good schemes that we could develop. The problem for us is that we've very little in the pipeline. Anything that we did do, you know, was more or less initiated by the old council, and those projects have all come to fruition now, and I would like the council to consider that in the future. But I would like to thank Liam Hannaway. I know it hasn't been easy for him with the present situation at Stormont and trying to really get to grips with this issue. 3.3, all councillors would have liked this kept at zero, but it wasn't possible. But I would thank the council staff for what they have done this time around.
Thank you for your comments, Councillor Riley, and I'm sure on behalf of the staff they're much appreciated. Is everybody in agreement? We have it proposed and seconded, and if everyone is in agreement, we will then move on. Everybody's in agreement. Nobody is speaking out against. Okay, so unanimously passed by Allied Council. Okay, folks, item 5 on our agenda is the minutes from the council meeting, which was held on the 8th of January. If we just settle down, I'm going to take it page by page for us.
Sorry, Chairman, maybe just to advise the annual report. Sorry, Chairman, I'm sure I've done that earlier on. The annual report, just for members of the press, that we have produced our annual report, which basically is a review of the Council's work for the year. It has details in respect to councillors on the various, both the Council and also the PCSP. It also deals with our performance improvement plan and how we performed and how we spent money in pages 28 to 29. I'd recommend that, you know, for citizens of the district, it's a very open and transparent way of retelling the rate payer, really, the work of the council, explain the work of the council. So, again, we will be going to community centres. We will be doing a PDF document from an electronic version of it, and there will be ones available from all our centres, and again, there will be available to councillors should they want it for the constituency offices. Sorry about that, Chairman.
Okay, not a bother then. As I say, item 5 now is our councillor Byrne.
Yeah, Chair, I wasn't aware. I know you didn't say at the start, but I thought Doreen would go through the efficiencies working group minutes and 4.1. I just want to raise one. Well, she's gone now.
Raise her. Okay, item 5, as I say, we're going through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and page 12. Can I have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Councillor Stokes and Councillor Burgess, proposed and seconded. Have we any matters arising? Okay, everybody's happy to move on. We move on then to item 6, and again we go through it page by page for accuracy, and it's the minutes of the special council meeting which was held on Friday the 19th of January. Page 1, 2, and page 3. Again, can we have a proposer? Spokes and Councillor Burgess, and matters arising. Councillor Murray.
As the councillor had asked for this meeting, I was disappointed due to holiday I wasn't able to attend. But again, it astounds me that we have agreed to extend this contract, and I just want to note that I don't support it. We have 5 car parks in the district that could have moved to a buyer system with a payback of under 2 years. And again, I think it's short-sighted to lose control of our car parks.
Your comments will be noted, Councillor Murnham. Savage?
Yeah. Yes, Chair, just on the parking issue, I just want recorded that I support the decision to review this after 6 months. I haven't spoken to some of the retailers in Uri. I think that was a very important decision we made that day, and hopefully we'll be able to introduce the lower tariff potentially over the Christmas period when people are shopping longer.
In fairness, Councillor, as I remember, everybody had agreed, and everybody had also agreed that we would review it in 6 months. I think that was fairly unanimous across the Council. Okay. Item 7 is the minutes of the ERT Committee, which was held on the 15th of January, and again we will go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, page 5, 6, 7, 8, and page 9. Can we have a proposer and seconder, please, just for accuracy? Councillor Harty, and well, there are several there, sir. You got somebody? Yeah. Okay, matters arising? No matters arising? Oh, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, I come in and I've been laid home for accuracy there. I seem to have seconded something and I'm not on the committee.
Okay.
Just on page.
Maybe it was the other Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, BY or any, just to have it corrected. I don't sit on that committee. I certainly didn't second any proposals.
ERT?
No.
ERT?
No.
ERT?
No.
You're the chair.
Sorry, I'm ahead of you. I'm on ERT. I'll bring it up in the next one. I'm certainly there at ERTs.
Okay, Councillor Burns. So now we've established you're the chair of VRT. Just coming up quite close to an AGM, at least we know where we are. Councillor Riley?
Yeah, Madam Chair, just on the ERT minutes, the geopark. Now, I know this was discussed extensively at that committee, but there is a growing level of concern within the rural community, within Mourne, as to what the geopark will entail. And I think there's, you know, before any geopark could be agreed, it would have, you know, even within the terms of their own terms of reference for forming a geopark, it has to be done from ground up. And, you know, all the people who live within the area and would be most affected by it would certainly need to be fully consulted on this. And then given the right to either say yes or no to proceeding with it. Thank you.
Okay, Marie, would you like to come in there?
Yes.
Sorry.
Sure, just in relation to the geopark, I suppose what I would say is that the application for geopark status wouldn't even be made until at least 2019. We have developed a detailed communication strategy, and that will, as Councillor Riley has rightly referred, be a bottom-up approach, and will involve a lot of public consultation right across the entire district. We're hoping to actually commence that consultation in March, and that will involve things like even going to farmers' markets, going out and meeting farmers on their own, meeting farmers' unions, meeting local communities and meeting businesses. So that strategy will be implemented commencing in March.
Okay, thank you, Marie. Councillor McCauley?
Yeah, I was just ready to follow up from what Councillor Riley was saying there, but I welcome what Marie's saying. But yes, I would be keen to get sort of some sort of public meetings with the landowners to allay sort of any concerns that they do have, and to, you know, put out the benefits of the geopark that the council are trying to sell. Thanks. And yes.
What did Robert say?
And Robert said to keep the Farmers Union on board as well.
Okay. Thank you for that, Councillor. Okay, we have nothing else then.
No,
we will move on.
Sorry, Chair.
Sorry, Brian.
With regard to the geopark, I would like some advance notice going out to the communities so they can do a bit of research for themselves exactly what the geopark is and how it is going to impact their day-to-day lives. And I think they need to be pre-armed before the consultation period starts so that they can do their preparation as well.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Quinn. I'm sure that will all be noted. And Councillor Hannah.
Just on that, I was contacted by the papers there, and the approach that one particular newspaper was trying to, I'm not saying they're trying to lead anybody, but I don't believe there's anything sinister going on with this whole approach of the geopark. I do honestly think that it does need to embrace the community, so does it needs to be, and Marie knows my feelings on this issue, does that they do need to actually consult as widely as possible and embrace it with as many community groups. We don't want a national park situation arising again.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor Hannah. And again, I don't see any further lights on, so we will move on to item 8. Dorina Backwards, yeah, sorry, Dorina's coming back up now, and it's the minutes of the SPNR committee meeting, which was held on the 18th of January. Again, page by page, just for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, page 6, 7, 8 and 9. Can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy, Councillor Burgess? And can we have someone to second? Councillor Burden. Okay. Have we any matters arising? Okay. Everybody's happy to move on. Okay. Item 8. The minutes of the active and healthy community. And again, I know the drill. For page by page for accuracy only. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, page 7, 8, 9, 10, and page 11. Proposed, Councillor McCauley?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's for accuracy and for matters arising, Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, that's the one with accuracy. I'm wide awake there. It's page 3. Councillor Burns proposed that it's a community centres effectiveness review or a presentation, and Councillor Burns seconded. I suppose that probably is Councillor Brown. Just I'm not on that committee. No, but Stevie Burns proposed it, and Councillor Burns seconded. Yeah. Just have it corrected.
Okay.
Just Chairman, on the matter of raising regarding the extension of the play times, as officers we want to, we've agreed that in principle we need to look, because it's not including the costs for the officer for the race estimates, and we need to look and see can we make some savings on that and actually bring back sort of a variation of proposals maybe back to the next AHC committee, just to advise members of that.
Okay. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, it was just on page 87 or page 8 of the agenda, just on the realignment of play strategy, fixed play recommendations, you know, the play park issues. But just to get confirmation that the category two parks that were identified for upgrading, that they will be taking place now in this financial year coming in. 18-19, could we just get that? So there was three in my area that I just looked: Ballyholland, the old Warren Point Road, and Burn. So just get confirmation that those will be taking place and being upgraded in this coming year, along with the Category 1 applications or Category 1 parks. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, certainly we're going into year two. Members will be aware, especially members of the AHC committee, that we're a little bit behind on the delivery of year one. So it's likely to be the latter part of the year before we get around to delivering the year two projects. But certainly we will be able to do that. We're currently filling the gaps that we have in the staff structure, which will allow us to press on with delivering all of these. We also have our delivery partner appointed, so yeah, bear with us, but we'll certainly do it in this financial year.
Yeah, could you have any indication when the public consultations will be going out on those ones? When will it commence on those?
Chair, as I said, it's likely to be the second part of the next financial year before we get around to that. If we can start them quicker than that, we certainly will, but we need to finish the year ones, which are going to unfortunately run into the first part of year two before we get them completed.
Okay, just to ask, just yes, so that's done, because you know there's a lot of working on in the background there with some of them, and so the expectation is that they would be done, you know, so just encourage you to speed up as quick as possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Councillor Riley?
Yeah, Madam Chair, just on the issue of play areas, I can understand, you know, we've agreed to the play strategy, but there are still some small play areas like Annalong Marine Park that has had equipment removed, you know, for repair or whatever, and not brought back. And surely, because it's not due for replacement until 2022, well, that's still a fair time away. If you have kids and there's visitors and tourists and all going into that marine park on a regular basis, especially during the summer. And why can we not, if we're removing the swings and roundabouts or whatever from other play areas, if they're still in reasonable condition, why could we not put a couple in there as a temporary measure? Because you're talking hundreds of pounds, not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. Thank you.
Do you want to respond to that, Michael? Or?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, we're more than happy to look at individual circumstances like those. I think I may have talked to you, the Councillor, about this a while back, but I could be getting that confused with something else. We're certainly happy to look at individual issues as they arise, so I'll certainly talk to you after the Council meeting about that, and we'll see if something can be done.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for that, Michael. Councillor Carr?
Thank you, Chair. It's just while Michael's here, could I ask that some special attention is given to the extraordinary amount of illegal dumping that we've had in Warren Point recently, and graffiti. the Environmental Health Department had been notified about it.
Yeah. Sorry, Councillor, that would be for the next committee. That would be for the RAPS committee, really.
It was from an environmental health point of view. I thought that was coming under Michael's domain. It has been reported. It falls under both.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. It falls under both.
Okay.
And I have made the request to Owen Devlin. He's going to follow up on it. But
okay.
I just say that it's causing a lot of concern at the moment.
Okay.
If we could ask
that's fine, Councillor Carr. Okay. And I don't see anyone else, so we will move on. Okay. Item 10 is the minutes from the RT&S committee. Again, we're doing the same thing. And before we actually go through the minutes, this will definitely be Adam's last full council meeting with us. And I have to say, Adam, you have been wonderful to work with. And we found you to be a great interim director, and your contribution was greatly appreciated by us all. So we wish you well, but we'll probably give you a bit of a hard time now, if you don't mind. Okay. We're going again page by page, just for accuracy, councillors. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and page 8, just for accuracy. Can we have a proposer and a seconder, please? Okay. Yeah. Matters arising. Councillor Burns.
Sure. I don't have the item number, but page 3, it's the bus shelter at Clockerhead, the famous bus shelter that we debated long and hard. Chair, the committee's decision was to not to go ahead with this partially built bus shelter, and that went against the DEA and the DEA decision, which I think is wrong, and for that reason I'd like the full council to take a vote on this, on this item here. Please vote on the committee's decision.
Okay, so are you okay? Thank you, councillor. Okay, we'll come back in a minute. Okay, Henry, are you on the same item?
No, I'm not on the Clock Gray one.
Can we just deal with this one first, Henry, just so we're not ping-ponging between the different items? Okay, Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, just to reiterate for the chair and the degree with Councillor Taylor said, and certainly I don't think it went against the DA at all. That's inaccurate. I mean, the committee considered the evidence before, and they asked that the shelter be relocated due to the special circumstances we're aware of. It's really that simple. Not a lot more really can say about it. Chair. Sure.
Okay, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And it's on the Clockway bus shelter. Yes, I sat at all the DEA meetings, and there was a meeting in Clockray as well with the DEA, with the RTS committee, and with TransLink and council officials and housing executive, I think, as well, because they had owned a piece of the land. At no point was this decision agreed at the DEA meetings. Actually, the only decision that was actually talked about and agreed to some extent at the DEA meetings, and it was a game of numbers, I suppose, was to turn it 180 degrees. So the decision that's in front of us, it's inaccurate to say that the DEA wanted this recommendation that is sitting in front of us. I just want to correct two things on it. First of all, just a brief background on the actual application. The bus stops in Clockway Park on the bottom, on the top of the left-hand side. Due to traffic and the parked cars, the bus does not go up and down and pick people up. There is no bus stop where this bus shelter is. From August or September last year, the bus stop has been removed. So the bus shelter is currently sitting between two bus stops on the opposite side of the road. So we have a shelter where there is no stop. As Councillor Taylor has said, this was, I suppose, there was a lot of talk about this application because of the special circumstances where the bus shelter is located. I don't think it's too much to ask, and especially when we're looking at health grounds of the resident of the CrossFit, and we should be looking out for people in the community on the basis of that. I don't think it's too much to ask to relocate a bus shelter to where the bus stop is, either of the two bus stops. It's not that there is no bus shelter going to go on Clockray. It's have the bus shelter at the bus stop and not across the road between two bus stops. Inconvenience in one family. Just one point I do want to correct on this. It does say on page 4 that Councillor Bunn said if there was a bus shelter at any other council facility which was being used for antisocial behaviour, would a councillor be entitled to ask that it is removed? That is certainly not the case in this scenario. It's not that the bus shelter is being used for antisocial behaviour and hence we're asking for it to be removed. We're asking for it to be removed because of where it is situated with the family across the road in case something like that comes up in the future. The fact that TransLink have taken it out of or actually made it even more of a ridiculous situation where you have a bus shelter where there is no bus stop. Once they removed the bus stop there in August or September, there's absolutely no need to force a bus stop or a bus shelter at that location. Please, if we can take this back, relocate the bus stop in Clockray so it services, or the bus shelter, so it services the actual bus stops and stop torturing a family in the park needlessly. That's what we're asking here. At no point did the DA agree that the bus shelter would stay where there is no bus stop. It's totally ludicrous.
I don't know if Adam will probably want to come in. The last meeting that we had with TransLink, the service has changed to a stop and heal service, and TransLink has said that they will stop the bus there and pick people up. There was an issue regarding the suitability of the footpath on the opposite side of the road as it, whether or not it would be wide enough to accommodate a bus shelter. But we have a proposer, Councillor Larkin. We need a seconder, by the way, if we want to take a vote on this. But
thanks, Chair. I would second that proposal. The first thing I'd like to say is that the fact that this bus shelter was being positioned at this spot was approved by the RTS committee in this council and approved by full council. That's what was there, going there. It was requested by the community. The council may have the power to shift bus shelters about, but doesn't have the power to shift a bus stop. This is where people gather in the centre of the estate to catch the bus. It's a central point of the estate. There's been a bus stop there for decades. It is well used. TransLink affirmed this at all the meetings that they attended. There is concern in relation to a lady who lives across the road from it and a disability that her son has, and that's understandable that people have fears for changes. But there's been no consideration taken of the disabilities of the users, the service users that stop there for a bus, that gather there for a bus every day, and there are many elderly, young families. I attended a number of meetings on this. The first meeting held in the council offices in the area that I attended, the fear of antisocial behaviour was raised as the main issue. And it's understandable that people do fear what may happen or might happen, but as far as I'm aware, this council bases decisions on facts, figures, statistics and reports. And all the facts, figures, statistics and reports from all the statutory agencies and from the council officials was that this was the place to put the bus shelter. This is where the community had requested, so this was the spot for it. The second meeting that I attended in Clockray Community Centre, where a number of the members of the RATS committee, or TNS committee, attended, heard bizarre accusations made against the chief executive. Or sorry, it wasn't the Clockery, it was the Bowling Green, the Bowling House in Bestwick. There was just the sleepwalking councillors and again the statutory agencies and council officials. But at that meeting, there was bizarre accusations made against the chief executive, Liam Hannaway. There was bizarre accusations made against council officials in relation to their dealings with this lady. There's accusations of lying, misleading, being untruthful. The members of the statutory bodies that were there were shocked, as was I. It was actually embarrassing. At that meeting at the Bowling Green, a decision was taken by sleepwalking councillors to proceed with the erection of the bus shelter at the spot where it had begun. The third meeting was, in fact, in Clockray Community Centre. Members of the RTNS committee were invited, several turned up. Sleepwalking councillors were invited and turned up. Again, there was a representative from TransLink and a representative from the housing executive. At that meeting, we heard false claims in relation to a petition. that was cleared up by the council officials. Again, at that, there was two separate proposals mentioned. Although it wasn't a decision-making forum, one proposal was to keep the bus shelter where it was, and the other was to seek another site for it. But worried me about that meeting, as I was worried about the former two in relation to the accusations, was that the final statement made by one of the councillors was that he would block at every stage the erection of this bus shelter or the finishing of it at its spot. I thought it was a very arrogant statement to make, and it run sort of in line with the bizarre accusations he made at the second meeting in the bowling green. The fourth meeting I attended was at the RTNS. I just was there observing, and at that meeting Gary Stokes proposed that it be removed and another site found for it. Then I really realised that all we had was a case of the SDLP playing party politics with a bus shelter and a request from the community. I've had a number of phone calls from residents in relation to this. I might be a free-falling councillor, but I don't for 1 minute suggest that it's an area that I would have much dealings with. I have my own patch, so to speak, in around Fort Hill, Jones for Drum and Tea and Mullabar. But when people phone me from Clackray, residents phone me wanting to know why their bus shelter that they requested isn't finished, that they can use, that they can shelter at when they're waiting for a bus, I have to tell them straight. An SDLP councillor from Newry has conspired with an SDLP councillor from Cross Maglen to deny the community of Clackray a facility that they requested through a Sinn Féin councillor. Now, perhaps it was because it was requested through a Sinn Féin councillor, I'm not sure, but that's what it looked like to me, and that's what the people are agreeing with when I suggest it. A number of those meetings that I was at, I have concerns in relation to some of the statements and accusations made. The community requested that facility, and I think it's a horrendous shame that this council would deny them it. Over the weekend, Clackray Youth Club done a survey of the houses in Clackray. They visited 123 houses. It's just a survey. It's not a petition. 108 people replied in the affirmative that they wanted the bus shelter there. 10 had no opinion on it, and 5 were against, out of 123 houses. Now, there may be other houses in Clackray that they didn't get to visit in the time that they had, but I think that sort of suggests what the community wants. And I don't think that this council should go against what the community asks for, especially when it's councillors from outside that area that are requesting to deny the community their facility. I'm just wondering if the accusations made at those meetings can be addressed by both Liam and the officials, Kevin Scullion, because I was shocked when I heard them. I'd like to offer them the opportunity to address those accusations of lying and misleading. I'd also like to know the fact that those accusations were made in front of other statutory body members. Is that bringing this council into disrepute? Is there an issue for the code of conduct that councillors are supposed to follow? And finally, if we do vote on this now, I'd like a recorded vote on it. Because I would like the community of Clackray to see in black and white the names and the parties that are trying to deny them a facility they requested. I want them to be able to see in black and white those councillors that have judiced them. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, councillors. Councillor Byrne, you have already spoken on that.
I have, but I've had the floor. I have a number of accusations put to me that I would like to address here.
He never mentioned your name.
Oh, hold on a second. The councillor from Cross Maglen. If there's nobody else here from Cross Maglen, I'd like to answer that. The SDLP councillor from Cross Maglen.
Okay, councillors. Okay, councillors, we have a proposer.
Chair.
And this has gone round in circles, and I am now taking a recorded vote. Eileen, could you please take a recorded vote on the matter?
Chair, if you're going to conduct a debate here where you allow a 10-minute monologue of an attack on another council in this chamber and do not allow it to be the record to be put straight, that is not embarrassing, Chair, and totally outrageous.
We are taking a vote on the matter. This has been debated for almost 2 years.
Hold on, I'm not talking about debate. I'm talking about answering accusations directly put, reported.
It's a matter
false accusations.
Bring it up a code of conduct.
It's not a matter for the code of conduct, Chair.
Your proposal is that the bus shelter is to remain where it is.
Sorry, there's a number of accusations there from councillor. I suppose the frog in his throat at the end is because he was talking utter rubbish. I would like to address a couple of questions and accusations put in my character.
Councillor Byrne, you have already spoken. Councillor Taylor, I will take you in.
No, I'm not going to go down in this.
Councillor Byrne,
I tell you what.
I will listen, Councillor.
He said in his words, I don't have much dealings with this area, and clearly he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because there is no bus stop
Burns.
At the place where he stayed with there for 10
Burns.
Years. It was removed in September. He also said, let's deal with facts and figures.
Burns,
I will deal with facts and figures.
The meeting.
Okay. I would like to answer the accusation.
I'm adjourning this meeting until Councillor Burns respects the chair.
We'll adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes
council.
Until I speak to Democratic Services
and Chief
Executive.
Taylor,
I won't have accusations, false accusations, put in my name.
And then we will be taking a vote.
The chair must be impartial.
Start the meeting again. As I said before the meeting, my intention is to take Councillor Taylor in for a comment and then we are going to take a vote on the matter.
Chair, am I allowed to come back in and answer the accusation?
No,
Councillor
Burns, you can take that
can
up
give,
after
can you give
the
me the reasons for Chair?
Code of conduct.
Chair, to be fair. In the chair, you must be impartial.
Councillor Burns, I'm going to ask you again to
You're allowed a 10-minute monologue
okay,
and attack on my character.
Councillor Burns, I will stop the meeting again if that's what it takes. Councillor Taylor, would you please come in to round this up and then we're putting it to a vote on the floor. Councillor Taylor, have you anything you'd like to say, Councillor Taylor?
Again, for a point of accuracy, and this is for on the basis of every member that needs to know this when they're voting on this, what's recommended in the RTS minutes doesn't result in no bus shelter at Clockway Park. In fact, quite the opposite. There will be a bus shelter in Clockway Park. It just won't be in the location that's proposed at the minute. There will be no doubt that there will be a bus shelter, and that's what people need to know. But some of the statements that have been made here give the impression that there won't be a bus shelter. There will be a bus shelter. And I think it's important that all members and everyone in this room notes that before the vote on this.
Okay, we have a proposer and a seconder, and I said that I was going straight to the vote after Councillor Taylor had spoken.
But there's the night song before you broke for...
Sorry, Councillor Savage, I was very clear before we broke the meeting and afterwards that I was taking Councillor Taylor in, and then we were going to a vote. This has gone around, as I say, this chamber.
So we're not allowed to speak, Chair.
For a year and 8 months, we're now going to.
Some people
to the
can
vote.
Speak for 10 minutes, Chair, but we're not allowed to say 2 words.
Please to get ready for a recorded vote on the matter. Councillor Burns, your proposal was that the bus shelter would be completed at current rate. Okay, Councillor Burns, and that was seconded by Councillor Larkin. Great. Could we please take a vote? A recorded vote on the matter. Eileen, if you would like to.
Councillor Andrews. Councillor Bailey is absent. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess.
Yes.
Councillor Burns. Councillor Byrne.
Firmly against.
Councillor Carr.
Yes.
Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark is absent. Councillor Craig?
Abstaining, Chair. We have no representation in the LPA. We're not in a position to vote either way. I'm not in a position of how to commit the Chair to the Chancellor. I am abstaining.
Councillor Curran?
Yes.
Councillor Devlin?
Yes.
Councillor Dorham?
Yes.
Councillor Enright?
Yes.
Councillor Fitzpatrick? Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
Yes.
Councillor Harvey?
Yes.
Councillor Hurtie?
Yes.
Councillor Highland?
Yes.
Councillor Kimmins?
Yes.
Councillor Larkin?
Yes.
Councillor Loughran is absent. Councillor McCauley?
Yes.
Councillor McAteer?
Yes.
Councillor McMahon?
Yes.
Councillor McMurray?
Yes.
Councillor Mulgrew?
For.
Councillor Murnan?
Yes.
Councillor O'Murray?
For.
Councillor Quinn?
Yes.
Councillor O'Reilly? Councillor Wright? Councillor Ruan? Councillor Savage?
Yes.
Councillor Sharvin?
Yes.
Councillor Stokes?
Yes.
Councillor Taylor? Councillor Tinley?
Yes.
Councillor Traynor is absent. Councillor Walker?
Yes.
13 voting for, 17 against, and 7 abstentions.
The recommendation then is, as stated in the committee, Chairman, the proposer and seconder for it, and take it.
Okay, so we need a proposer and a seconder for the motion, or for the proposal as it was in committee.
Proposed.
It's already
proposed,
done, Chair.
Councillor Byrne.
We already proposed the Minister.
Okay.
For accuracy,
it has to be proposed and seconded.
And I would like to say, Chair,
sorry,
I would like to say on that,
that
I've always called for transparency in this chamber, but that was the most outrageous display of manipulation from a chair I have ever seen.
Okay.
To allow a 10-minute monologue of nothing but absolute nonsense, and not allow any councillor to come back.
Seconder, please, for that. Councillor Stokes. Okay.
Councillor Larkin already said he wasn't familiar with the area. He clearly wasn't familiar with it.
All in favour? Could we have a hand, show of hands of all of those in favour? Okay.
Sorry, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, I understand that this is, you know, I don't laugh at these situations. I got involved in politics to stand up for people, vulnerable people in their society. And the way we have conducted this debate was absolutely outrageous. And you should be ashamed of yourself.
I will suspend the meeting again, Councillor Byrne. Is everybody in favour of that? Councillor Riley, would you like to come in? Did you want to come in on something else?
Yes, something else. It's just on that there. It's never been a table.
Is everybody in favour? We did ask.
By Councillor Byrne.
No,
we need to
take a vote.
Okay, we need to take a vote then for those in favour. Favour of the recommendation.
Of the recommendation.
Just for clarity, the recommendation in the committee that came from the committee.
Okay. 19. 19. Okay. Against. And those against. Okay. 12.
And abstentions then, Chairman.
Oh, sorry. Abstentions.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay.
Henry,
your light is on. Did you want to come in on something else on that?
Yes,
committee?
I wanted to...
It was...
For the recommendation, 19 against, 12 and abstention, 6. Henry,
yes.
Would you like to come in on something else then
yes,
on
I
that
would.
Committee? Good man, carry on.
I wanted to ask about... What was that, Charles?
It's all right, Henry, come on.
Can I thank Mr. Wilkinson?
Can I
thank Mr. Wilkinson for the sterling efforts he's made in that role? He was through into the lion's den there, from what I can see, and an incredibly difficult job to do. But I wanted to ask, does this council still do litter picks? It used to be that you would have seen our people out with their yellow vests on doing litter picks along the side of the roads. Because the amount of litter that is accumulating in rural areas at the present time is just unbelievable. I've never seen it as bad, and that combined with the number of potholes we have in it just makes the rural areas very, very unsightly. But I recall from whenever this council was twinned with Clare County Council, they run a very innovative scheme whereby they give football clubs and GAA clubs and community groups and whatever an incentive to go out and adopt a piece of road, and they kept it clean. And you can travel County Clare now and you wouldn't see a bit of litter anywhere. Now, it's not just those. It seems that the public authorities down there are very savvy to the tourism aspect of it and keeping the area clean looking. And I would like if this council would adopt some measures that would be proactive, actually getting out onto the roads and getting the area cleaned up, because it really is dreadful the way we are at the minute.
Adam, could you give any clarity on that?
We do indeed do litter picking, but you'll note from last full council a proposal to increase the resources within the waste service, because when we've been down on resources in waste, we've taken the cleansing team to assist in backfill, and we've done that quite a lot. So in increasing the staffing of the waste service, which has been agreed tonight in terms of the budget, we shall be able to put back the resource on cleansing and litter picking and so on. And also, if you look at the minutes of the last RTS committee, there was a paper called Development and Implementation of the Neighbourhood Service Proposal, and that's exactly what it's trying to do, and that is to address the issues of the environment and try and join up some of our resource, some of our service, and concentrate geographically on those areas that are suffering most, either from missed bins, from litter, from fly tipping, from graffiti. So the service proposal that will take about 9 months to develop and then implement should hopefully come some way to addressing the issues you've just highlighted.
Right. Well, that's excellent news. I think there's an onus there, and once Mr. Wilkinson goes, Liam, if we can keep the pressure on and try and get that resolved and get the area cleaned up.
Yes, Chairman.
Andy, you want to come in?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, I suppose in some ways just to actually echo what Councillor Raddy said about the litter pick. I was speaking to a few constituents today about the very same matter. But just, I was reading the minute of the item 10 there that Mr. Wilkinson was just describing, but I was also reading the agenda, and within the agenda, again, another issue that comes up quite regularly is not terribly tasteful, but it's dog fouling. And I noticed in the agenda notes there's quite a lot of emphasis played in the or put on towards dog fouling, but yet in any key issues or recommendations it seems that the dog fouling wasn't there anymore. So I'm just wondering, is there any scope within council for tackling the issue of dog fouling? Thank you.
Again, Chair, that's going to be captured as part of the neighbourhood service proposal, in that we're wanting to address all of the common issues, the top 10 common issues that people find within their local neighbourhoods. And this was a strategy that was drafted some years ago in terms of legacy authorities, and we're dusting that off and incorporating it in what we're going to call the neighbourhood services standards of service. So we will ask the public and residents and so on to report issues such as dog fouling. So one, we can obviously assist in clean-up, but to start to look at education, enforcement, and so on in the totality of neighbourhood services, not just specific to dog fouling.
Okay, Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And just to to pass comment maybe on the neighbourhood services is to say it's a very welcome development, I would think, and to add to the request earlier to Michael for the two departments to work together to address the major issues that we have in Moore and Point over recent times regarding illegal dumping and graffiti.
Thank you. Councillor Carr, Councillor McAteer. Oh, sorry, Councillor Walker. Sorry, I apologise, Billy.
Chair, thank you very much. And it's picking up on the dog fouling again. I actually think this is something that really, really needs to be dealt with, right? Throughout our district, and I think we need something like a dog fouling strategy, so we do to deal with this and to deal with it effectively. Because I attend interagency meetings in Tilray, Crossgar, Ballinahinch, and Saintfield, and the top of the agenda every time at them meetings is dog fouling. And the way it's getting out of control in areas, and it's not good enough. There's initiatives out there that we should be picking up on. There's a perfect one there that I suggested to council a couple of years ago in relation to signage that's put up with the words We're watching you. You get a fine. Now, ABC Council had put that type of signage up. And the dog fouling had reduced dramatically just by putting up a few signs in hotspot areas. We need to take control of it. Now, we had a litter strategy in this council, and for some unknown reason, it has disappeared. Hasn't met now for a couple of years, so it hasn't. Now, we were starting to deal with them issues, and we were sort of trying to deal with dog fouling in that strategy. But I think it's a big, big issue within our district, and it needs to be dealt with and taken seriously. Not, we'll have a wee look at it. There needs to be something done. And we need to hit them maybe even more in their pocket. So we do. Because it's a disgrace. A perfect example is the Harbour Walkway in Killalea. You could go around there on a Monday morning and you could count 30, 40 dog droppings. So you could right round that. It's a disgrace. So it is. It is a disgrace, so it is. And we need to tackle it. So I would like to think that something will come back through that committee that is effectively going to tackle it.
Okay, Councillor Walker, thank you. Councillor Savage?
Yeah, Chair, in relation to the anti-litter strategy, and particularly in the verges and the entrances in the main towns and cities, Chair, we have an escalating problem from the Red Bridge down to Watson's Road on Thorns Hill, and it appears to be getting worse by the weekend, and we really need to tackle this. This is the main arterial route coming off the main A1 M1 into our city, and whether people are just fly dumping and leaving rubbish at will on a Sunday and Monday morning, the place is littered, and we are now trying to get local community groups together to try and do litter picks in the area. But, you know, we need to get the message out there. The strategy needs to tackle this. These are main arterial routes coming into our city. And, you know, the state of the place on a Sunday morning, on a Monday morning in particular, it's just getting worse every week, and it's flowing right down into the city. And we need to challenge people to start thinking before they dump their litter. We start a marketing program to get people educated about destroying the place that they live in, or it's people throwing litter out the windows as they drive past. But the place has become appallingly dirty over the last number of weeks, and I would ask that be very much included in the strategy going forward.
Councillor McAteer, I'm going to take Adam in at the end. All councillors have the opportunity to contact any officials, you know, at any time regarding matters like this, but we will take Adam in at the end to round up. Councillor McAteer.
It was just really, just, you know, was the, I know it's up with grass cutting and that side of things, and there, you know, the parks department, you know, the flower planting, all that, they weren't incorporated in that, I presume, were they? They are they? Ah, yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking. Okay, thanks.
Okay, Councillor, thank you. Councillor Andrews?
Thanks very much, Chairperson.
There are several meetings. You must speak to your colleagues, Councillor Andrews.
In the back.
Okay, Councillor Andrews, carry on.
But just more or less in relation to the dog fouling strategy, I did raise with Liam Dillon.
Lynn and Henry, just keep it down a wee minute for me, please. I can't hear Councillor Andrews.
In relation to the dog fouling strategy, I did raise that issue with Liam Dinsmore, and as far as I know, there will be a paper presented at a future RATS meeting in relation to that dog fouling strategy. And also, I'd like to welcome the efforts of our enforcement officers that we do more than the best with the resources that they have. You know, in relation to the people having touched me with Cross Gar about inconsiderate owners of letting their dogs foul the place, but that has been passed on. So I just got some of the issues I've highlighted, but at also this juncture, I'd like to thank Alan, who I got to know during his time with us, and I wish you all the best in your new role over the water. So thanks very much for your help.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hurley.
Thank you, Chair. And just to be quick, it's on the refuse roundup on that. I noticed today, and it's a regular thing, we have the bulky collection, we have no driver, bin deliveries, we have no driver, hook two, we have no driver. It's very expensive vehicles to leave parked up all day because we don't have drivers, and drivers can be sick. Have we no reserve lists that can we not do training or give people an opportunity to hold a licence to drive these lorries. We're buying new lorries and we're letting them parked up. Do you know, but it's important. Like, we can't buy new vehicles and leave them parked up. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical or anything else. So,
okay.
So we need to ensure that these this isn't a one-off. There's three drivers. This is a regular thing, and we're buying new lorries and parked up, so we need to do something about it.
Okay. Adam, would you like just to round up on those questions and then we will move on to the next item?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Actually, the RTS committee did indeed raise the issue of anti-litter strategy, dog fouling strategy, and asked for both of those issues to come back. To come back via a new neighbourhood services working group, which will be set up to replace what was the anti-litter working group historically. So those issues will figure highly in all of the work that we're looking at across the neighbourhood services area. What we're doing is we will be re-engineering, setting up new processes, roles and responsibilities, new JDs, extra resource in the waste service, extra resource in the cleansing service. And just picking up on the issue of not having enough drivers, that was a report that was brought to members a month or so ago, highlighting that on any given day, we are automatically 20% down because of sickness, leave, etc., etc. So you agreed tonight via the budget to increase the resource, to make permanent all the temporary staff within the waste service and create a 20% reserve list. So we hopefully therefore avoid on any day, on any given route, the reason for non-delivery of service is lack of staff. We hope to cover that off and then better utilise the vehicles that we are indeed procuring.
Okay, thank you for that, Adam. And again, thank you for all that you have done and for working with us over the last few months. And good luck.
Thank you, Chair. It has been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed my time here. Thank you.
Most of it anyway. Okay, we're going to move on to item 11, which is the minutes of the Audit Committee meeting, which was held on Thursday the 11th of January. And we will again do what we usually do. We will go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8 and page 9. Could we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Councillor Hurty and Councillor Savage or Hannah, whichever hand you saw first. Okay, matters arising.
Yeah,
Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, can I just ask on the prompt payment statistics? it does say here that, you know, there was an average of 21 days, but we see from the overall figures for the north of Ireland and all the council areas that we're potentially one of the worst in terms of getting money out to people. I mean, we can talk about the smaller invoices amounts, but it seems that there is an issue with the overall figures. And in fact, it says here that the figures were not even available due to an upgrade required in the sound system. Just a few questions on that, because, you know, it is having an impact on business in the area. It's also having an impact on the standing of this council. And I was just looking here at some of the reasons why it took so long to pay suppliers. Due to staff annual leave, staff annual leave should be recognised that, you know, the number of staff will take annual leave. That should be quite obvious. Staff sickness is something, certainly, yes. There need to be a hell of a lot of staff off sick. And also says that a staff member moved to another department and wasn't replaced. But I was sort of, why was the potential effect of that particular staff member moving not picked up, because they knew they were moving, and the potential impact this was going to have? And I'm only raising this because, you know, it does hit the national press as such. And I know there's some talk here that the speed of the invoice approvals should improve. With the new procurement policy in place. But can we be assured that we will still see a marked improvement and a radical improvement?
Doreen, would you like to come in on that?
Thank you, Chair. The report which went to the Audit Committee, Councillor, we bring a report to the Audit Committee quarterly, and we are asked to report our statistics with an aim across all of government, both central and local, to pay 90% of invoices within that 30-day period. Now, we have for a number of quarters there been in around the 90 days, between 88 to 90. In this particular quarter, we dipped down to 82%, and we were attempting to explain to the committee the reasons for that reduction in that particular quarter. The, as you say, things like annual leave should be anticipated, but what we suffered really the cumulative effect of in that one quarter of annual leave, coupled with staff sickness, which was unforeseen, coupled with a member of staff moving. And in the particular quarter, we couldn't actually get the member of staff replaced and in a short space of time. So again, it is something that we are working very hard on to try and improve. What I would say to you with regard to the comparability across other councils, what has become clear to us, we had an internal audit, an independent review in this area, and as part of that we went back to the department, and what is very clear is that every council is actually recording these statistics slightly differently. However, obviously, we've no control over how we all are required to go back to the department with how we record them. The big factor in the difference there is disputed invoices. So there's a real challenge for us as a council to ensure that the appropriate checks are carried out before we authorise payment of the ratepayers' money. And what we're trying to do is say to our officers that the first and foremost, we need to be very clear that we are authorising a correct amount for payment, and we don't want that cheque to suffer in a haste to get payment out the door. That said, we do very much recognise that we really do want to play our local suppliers and all our suppliers, in fact, in accordance with the terms on which we contract with them. Now, what I would say is that you'll see comment in there around 10-day statistics. This was a payment statistic brought about by central government when they introduced a very sophisticated accounting and IT system. We don't have such a sophisticated system, and in fact we actually contract on the basis of payment within 30 days. So our local suppliers contract with us on the basis of getting payment within 30 days. We are endeavouring, and we had been for a number of months meeting that requirement. But it's something that we're working very hard on, and I take the point. We do take it very seriously to try, and we're trying to get back up to the 90%.
Or higher.
Or higher, indeed. Or higher.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor. I don't see any other lights on at the minute, so we will move on. Item 12 has actually been dealt with in the correspondence received from the Permanent Secretary. We dealt with that at the onset of the meeting. Item 13, the correspondence received from Fermanagh and Omagh District Council regarding a motion to reinstate the area of the natural constraints scheme. Liam, do you want to?
No, Chairman. The correspondence is there for members. It's a motion that was put before Fermanagh Council, which they're asking this council could we have our support for their motion. So, Chairman, that's just a decision from the council.
Councillor McAteer.
Yes, again, I spotted this, and certainly I think are we given voice to the acceptance of this motion by, you know, we're not just noting it, because I do think that if it takes a letter coming of support to the relevant department, I think that should be forthcoming, because it was an absolute disgrace, to be honest with you, that this, which used to be the old Les David area payment scheme, was actually taken away from the most severely deprived regions of Northern Ireland, and the land, the poorest land in it, and it should never have happened. It seemed to be one of the most radical, strangest decisions I've ever seen any department make in terms of funding people in the deprived areas in farming terms. So I think that the sooner that's, especially given the light that we don't know where we're going in terms again of farm aid post 2020, this type of funding is absolutely essential to the farming community and rural community. So fully back the Omagh District Council's motion, or Fermanagh Omagh District Council's motion, and I propose that we would again write it out of support to DEIRA.
Okay, so
thank you.
We have a proposal from Councillor McAteer. Councillor Hurtig?
Chair, I would second Councillor McAteer's proposal.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Hurtig to show our support. Is everyone in favour of that, or do we need to take a vote? Is there everyone in favour of writing a letter of support? I don't see anyone indicating otherwise. So we just, that is carried then?
Yeah.
Okay. Item 14 is the National Association of Councillors Conference. That information was shared with you all. Liam, do you want to come in on that?
I think we're writing the National Association of Councillors. I think I raised this with Councillor Andrews. The notice we're getting for this here makes it extremely difficult. Last conference we were doing, we're really leaving it 2 days to try and book accommodation and flights, which makes this extremely difficult for us to book. And again, I think, you know, there's an issue over that there. It will cost the council. It's £350, but it'll cost us because of £1,000 per member to send somebody to this.
Okay. Councillor Burgess?
Chair, just to bring you on to that, I raised that today with the NEC, that we need to get this out faster, quicker, because it is all there. We don't understand what's going wrong, because apparently it was supposed to be sent to the chief executive around about Christmas time, but we don't know where it has went wrong. There's been a breakdown in communication somewhere.
It's too short, Chairman.
I agree with you there.
A couple of months in advance, you know.
Yeah. But there will be, the rest of the year will be brought to you right away. And in fact, I've got an email sent to me there that it has been dealt with at this point in time.
Okay, I appreciate that update, Councillor Burgess. Councillor Walker?
Chair, just picking up, I do understand that they are coming in late and it's difficult to book flights, accommodation, etc. But, you know, we have to take a decision here. We elect councillors to outside bodies such as the NAC, such as NILGA, etc. So we do. Time and time again, you'll get a conference coming up. So you will. That is relevant. You know, you have the other 10 councils in Northern Ireland sending representatives, and I think we should always, providing it's relevant, be sending a councillor. If we have 7 councillors or 9 that sit in the NAC, we have the same that sit in NILGA. What we could do, I do understand the price and the cost. Them councillors that sit on that particular group could agree amongst themselves who would go to represent council. We're not saying the whole 7 or 9 goes. What we're saying is that, you know, one councillor goes to represent the council and brings back a report. So they do. Because what's the point in being on these outside bodies when these things come up and our councillors don't get, or they're sent and they have to come home halfway through a conference because the booking wasn't made properly. And that sends out a bad picture in this council when the other 10 councils in Northern Ireland are sending representatives. And I think we need to have a good hard look at it when it comes to nominating to these conferences, etc. So we do. We really need to have a look at it. So we do.
Okay, Councillor Walker, we just move on at the minute, and
Sure, can I propose that we look at the possibility of Prince of Councillor Burgess going?
Councillor Burgess, you've been... Councillor Carr?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just when you're speaking about conference, I believe there's a meeting of the Irish Nuclear Free Local Authority coming up soon. I was just wondering, could invites or details of that be circulated to councillors? I think it may have been some time ago, but I'm having difficulty locating it myself and would be interested in attending.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Carr. Okay, councillors, we'll move on. Item 15 was a notice of motion received from Councillor Sharvin. Is it my understanding that you want to withdraw that, Councillor Sharvin?
Chair, yes, that would be correct. Given that this was to be emergency motion in January, but it wasn't accepted, and myself and Councillor Walker were prepared to actually propose the motion, but given the brilliant outcome that Bombardier has received from the ruling, I don't see there being value in bringing the motion, given that we did send a letter, so I do withdraw it.
And as agreed, there were letters sent from myself representing all councillors and Liam Hannaway, the Chief Executive, as we promised. That was done. Okay, item 16 is the notice that they must have listened to me, you're right. The notice of motion received from Councillors Casey and Kimmins. Councillor Kimmins, would you like to read the motion to us, please? Do you want to try Valerie's or Mickey's?
Thanks, Chair. I'll just read the motion first before I speak any more. We would propose that this Council recognises the citizens of this district's commitment to human rights and will therefore support those seeking a human rights compliant public inquiry into allegations of forced labour, arbitrary detention, ill treatment and the illegal adoption of babies in former mother and baby homes in this district and across the north. Just to give a wee bit of background, in 2013 the Irish Government released the McAleish Report, which set out to establish the fact of state involvement with the Magdalen laundries in the 26 counties. As many of us will know, this report uncovered the horrific suffering that many women and girls and their children suffered in these mother and baby homes, and it concluded that there was a great deal of state involvement in these cases. The publication of the McAleish report subsequently encouraged many more women to come forward and tell their stories, including women across the north, and this highlighted to some degree the similarities of the abuse that occurred right across the 32 counties. We have therefore brought this motion to this council tonight to ensure that those victims and survivors who were incarcerated in similar institutions in the north of Ireland have their voices heard and are given the formal recognition they deserve for the suffering they too have endured at the hands of the state and religious institutions. These cases have spanned from 1922 to the 1990s when the last mother and baby home closed. However, time is running out for those remaining victims, and it is our duty to give them the justice that they deserve. Reports have shown that government officials, including the police in the six counties, frequently involve themselves in referrals of this nature, with pregnant girls as young as 13 years old being sent to mother and baby homes. It is therefore only right that a full public inquiry that is led by the victims should take place, not only to establish the abuses that took place, but to determine the level of state knowledge and involvement in enabling these women and children to be treated in this way. The violation of the human rights of these women, including arbitrary detention, forced labour, ill treatment, and the removal and forced adoption of their babies, have caused everlasting suffering, and it is therefore crucial that the victims and survivors get the unreserved apology and redress that they deserve. One report shows how in one single year that at least 43 babies died from severe malnutrition from just two of the mother and baby homes in Belfast, babies who were supposedly under the care of the state. Religious institutions, particularly the Catholic Church, were equally culpable with the state to treat women and children in this horrendous way, as many of these homes were run by the religious orders, including Maidenvale here in the district. However, as I said before, time is running out. Unfortunately, many victims have sadly gone to their graves without any formal acknowledgement of the abuse they endured, many of whom were made feel like this was a dirty secret and felt shame for what had happened to them. The only shame should be felt by those responsible for allowing it to happen, those who incarcerated these women and stripped them of their dignity, their identity and their babies. I therefore hope that all councillors present here tonight will support this motion and help to make this proposal a reality for the victims and survivors who continue to campaign for the justice that they deserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kimmins. Okay, Councillor Casey, does anyone else wish to come in?
Councillor
McMurray. I want to thank you, Chair, and thank Councillors Kimmins and Casey for bringing this motion forward. And doing some of my own research into preparation for the motion, I took the time to listen to your party colleague, Councillor Jim McVeigh from Belfast, who spoke of his own personal experience and most poignantly his time regarding Entombed. This motion is about calling for a public inquiry to establish the truth regarding the practices which went on in some of the mother and baby homes across this province. Within our own district, the Marionville home in Newry is particularly pertinent. The Republic of Ireland has already gone through this process. As noted, the McAleese report concluded that there is a great deal of state involvement within these institutions. Women and girls in these laundries experience a range of serious human rights abuses, including inhuman and degrading treatment, arbitrary deprivation of liberty and forced labour. On the public from this report, the Republic of Ireland and subsequently more recent investigations in Tomb, a number of women have bravely come forward to state that they too were victims within an institution in Northern Ireland. However, they have as of yet not received the same political focus and attention. These abuses were not confined to institutions across the border, nor was it the preserve of a single denomination. Records show that these homes were either side of the border, established before and after partition, and were founded by many religious and secular organisations. Again, these homes are not the relics of a distant past. The most recent closures occurred in the early 90s. Catherine Torney of the Detail documents the story of a woman who was sent to one such home in 1991. The stories are generally quite harrowing. And without going into too much detail, in some instances, the most basic opportunity for a mother to bond with her baby after childbirth was denied. The Northern Ireland Executive and the Department of Health have established a working group, and a research group has been commissioned to investigate and document the experience of those who are residents of these homes. However, the victims are unequivocal in their response to this. It is not enough. Only a public inquiry that follows international standards is conducted under oath and has a strong element of compelling is delivered to the sense of manner will suffice. It is only right that a public inquiry of strong input from victims should not only look at the abuses that took place, but also ascertain the level of state knowledge and the treatment of these homes. The UN Committee Against Torture and the UN Committee for Elimination of Discrimination Against Women have both recommended that the Northern Ireland Executive should establish an inquiry into abuses in such institutions, but as yet it has refused. Now, with the current political stalemate, victims of these abuses are being directly affected, as they do not have an up-and-running executive that they can engage on with this matter. So we reiterate the plea and urge the Executive Office to instigate a comprehensive and effective public investigation into allegations of abuse suffered within these institutions, which would not otherwise have been covered by the Historic Institutional Abuse Inquiry. In the event of direct rule, we would repeat this call to the Secretary of State to implement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. I welcome the motion from Councillor Kimmins on her eloquent comments, along with those with Councillor McMurray. Any inquiry, Chair, that gives a voice to the victims of these human rights abuses and sheds a light on this terrible era of our past has to be welcomed. There are many victims, as Councillor Kimmins has said, that have passed on and will never have their voices heard. Such an inquiry, we believe, will give a voice to those still living. But time is running out, and we need to support them in getting their voices heard and their stories heard now. The SDLP has always supported victims of all human rights abuses, and we will be there to support the women in this instance. There is a need for, and we call for, a full public inquiry that is victim-centred and lets the voices of those who have suffered be heard. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Have we anyone else indicating to come in before we go to vote? No, I don't see anyone else. Councillor Kimmins, do you want to sum up then?
Yeah, just to thank all the councillors for their support. I think it's an issue that is very emotive for everyone, and hopefully we will help to bring those involved to justice. Thank you.
Okay. Is everyone in agreement? No one against? Okay, councillors, that's the meeting over. Thank you very much. Safe home.